How you doing, Edmonton Expo? Oh, wow. A lot of people here. Well, thanks for coming, guys. And also, Edmonton Expo, of course, celebrating 5 years. So that is a very, very cool achievement. My name's Tanner. Last week, I hosted a similar event to this at the Saskatoon Comic Entertainment Expo. Was anybody there for that? A couple of you. I feel like this is, at what point do we call this a Canadian tour? Because this is now our second stop. So I'm going to let the video do the talking. She's an actor, author, a princess, and a general. Let's take a look at some of Carrie Fisher's work.
They've done it all day. Marco! Okay, that's asinine, but still, we got it out of the way.
Well, before we get to audience questions, we should chat about a couple of things. One of those, you have a book on the way, The Princess Diarist. That is end of November, right?
Yeah, it comes out right before Thanksgiving, so you can read it while you eat. Read it and eat.
And in there, a few stories that maybe you haven't told yet?
There are stories I haven't told yet. What happened is, I forgot some of the stories. I found some diaries that I'd kept during the first movie, unexpectedly. So I caught up with my 19-year-old self, and I'm publishing them. So, I mean, not just exclusively that, but sort of some... It's bookended by explanations and, you know, denials. So that's what I've done.
Very cool. And also I got to say, too, we talked a little bit about some of this stuff last weekend at the Saskatoon Comic Entertainment Expo, but we'll try to get to some new stuff here, too. And last week you told a really hilarious story because we were talking about the Han and Leia marriage downfall, and you had a really great explanation as to maybe what went wrong there.
I can't remember what I said then, but obviously he did way too much smuggling, and that really cuts into child rearing, as it were. And I did too much work as a general, you know, so we neglected that awful son of mine, and I spank Adam as often as I can. You know, my son is Hitler, so and please don't call me Mrs. Hitler, okay? But he's a really bad boy. At one point, I was standing with Harrison and Adam and myself. There is a milkman in there somewhere. We don't really look alike, so maybe the milkman was Hitler. No, it's his grandfather. It's his grandfather's doing. We've got some really bad DNA. Darth, no, asshole. I don't know.
Now, you've been answering fan questions for years now. Now, before we got to see The Force Awakens, we didn't really know what happened after Return of the Jedi. Did you have a response that you were giving to people up until we actually found out? Like, did you kind of, you know, fill in those blanks at all?
You mean, did I make up stuff about what was going to happen?
Up until The Force Awakens, what did you say when people asked you what happened after Return of the Jedi?
Well, I lost the bikini. That was really sad. And I tried to kill Jabba again. And I hope that he has a relative so that Daisy can kill him, because I think she'd really enjoy that. There's nothing like killing Jabba the Hutt, I promise you. It's my favorite thing I've really ever done. But yeah, I've made up stories about, well, pretty much, what if everyone in that movie was my brother, and I'm just making out with all these people that I'm related to. Boba Fett, you know, what an awful brother he would make. But I do like to make up stuff. I like to imagine. But sometimes I say stuff like, well, yes, in the next film there's going to be a really long funeral for Han. And people believe me. So please never believe anything that I ever said. I may not even have a book coming out.
Now, before we get to the audience, last weekend, Gary was wearing a little maple leaf on his wrist.
Oh, I know. Gary ate 17 raisins in Saskatoon, and so he was at the vet quite a bit, getting rehydrated, and as you can see, he's trying to lick the Narcolot off my fingers. But now, he's wearing a little Star Wars tie that he got here. So, it's very nice. Doesn't he look good in it? And we had a little bandana that says the force is strong with this one. But it starts getting a little embarrassing when I over-merchandise my dog.
Now, you had said he was an honorary Canadian because he had the little
oh,
Canadian flag.
Yeah, well, and also he's had about 8 hours of Canadian fluids pumped into him. So I think he's on, you know, he's just floating down Canadian rivers here with you. He's been trying to get that out of his system for the whole last week. He got a lot of it out of it at the Moutard Conservatory.
Well, to make him a little more Canadian, I got you something, Carrie. It's a very Canadian maple leaf leash and collar for Gary that you can rock the rest of the weekend.
That is great.
Now he's truly Canadian. He can represent.
He's got a little, Canadian bark, you know.
All right, well, we have two microphones, one in each aisle, so let's get to some audience questions. Let's start over here on this side.
Okay, Carrie, thank you so much for coming. You're my whole reason for even going to the expo.
Thank you.
This is going to be a horribly stupid question, but I have to get it on my chest. What do you think the first thing that it would be that Leia would say to Luke if she went up to that hill and found him at the end of The Force Awakens?
Where the Sam Hill have you been? I have been running this whole damn rebellion all by myself, and you take off and hang out in the woods somewhere meditating.
Oh my god, that is actually perfect. Thank you so much.
All right.
Well, I'd like to start by thanking you for coming in the First Nation language, Michif. So, merci équipe petoteyek
means. Ah oui, je parle un peu de français, mais mon accent c'est mieux que mon vocabulaire.
Oh, je parle français.
Je parle français un petit peu.
Oh, c'est bien. I have a question. I wanted to know if you had any, like, crazy fan stories or something.
I have some dirty ones. How old are you?
15.
Okay, you can handle it. I met this guy and he said, Oh my God, you're Princess Leia. I thought about you every day from when I was 12 to when I was 22. And I said, every day? And he said, well, four times a day. See, you are old enough to understand that. So there's that one. And the other thing I like is I'll be in an airport or something, and someone will say, oh, Princess Leia! And what am I supposed to do? Go, yes. But I answer to it also. But only when I'm really tired and I forget that, you know, I'm also Carrie Fisher.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, good luck topping that one.
Hi. First of all, Edmonton is so honored to have you here.
Thank you.
Tanner Z, I follow your Twitter.
Thank you.
So my question is, are you really nerdy? Do you like to watch Netflix? And if you do, what kind of shows do you like to watch on the weekend?
I'm not as nerdy as I would like to be. No, I watch a lot of old movies, so I watch old sci-fi movies. I hardly watch anything. Don't tell anyone.
I read a lot. A little Scream Queens, right?
Oh my God, my daughter. My daughter, I do watch my daughter's show, Scream Queens. She's Chanel number 3. And so that's really good. And I usually, there's one time travel one I watch.
Doctor Who?
I've watched a little of Doctor Who, but there's another one where they go back in time in Scotland. Outlander. I really like that one. And there's some other Swedish ones that I've watched, the crime ones from Scandinavia. I like those. But then I have to watch them for, you know, like 12 hours to find out what happens. What is that called again?
Binge watching.
What is it?
Binge watching.
Yeah, it makes sense that I would binge watch. So I binge and purge watch.
How often do you revisit the Star Wars films? Have you ever, you know, sit down on TV and?
Well, because I was finishing my book, I thought, well, maybe I should watch it to see if it jogs my memory of any stories that I might have forgotten, so I can put them in. And so I watched the first one in Empire, and Gary watched them. And there's pictures on my Twitter account of Gary watching Star Wars. And I mean, he's really watching it. There's a picture of him watching Yoda and Darth Vader, who I think he preferred Yoda, thinking he was some, you know, mystical dog. What did you think of the movies? See, he liked me. He liked my performance.
All right, let's go back to this side.
Hi, my name is Dominic, and I'm wondering what was your reaction to the golden bikini?
Well, what was your reaction to it? All right, I'll tell you, because I don't want to know. I thought George was kidding. He actually sent for me to come up to San Francisco, and he showed me this sketch of almost nothing to wear. And I looked at it and looked at him and waited for him to say, but he didn't. So then I thought, this was before the time when people used to go to the gym a lot. So I bought some leg weights. So that because I've signed some of the pictures you guys have, and I'm very close to naked. So I don't like to be naked a lot. No offense. What does that mean? So, you know, especially anymore. But even when I should have liked it, I didn't like it that much. But I kind of liked wearing it. I thought I looked pretty cute in it.
A lot of people do.
What?
A lot of people do.
Oh! Thank you.
Wow.
I particularly like shooting the Rolling Stone article where they had me with all those preachers and I got to run through the ocean in the outfit. That was the best use of it I ever had. Oh, that and killing Jabba the Hutt in it. Yeah. It's great to murder big creatures in a metal bikini. Ask around.
Thanks a lot, man. All right.
There's no following that question. Kara, you've had a very prolific but largely uncredited career as a script doctor, saving Hollywood from itself for years. Are there any particular moments, bits of dialogue, anything that you're particularly proud of?
I did a line, my first one that I ever did, I did Hook for Spielberg, and there's a line in it where he's being introduced, Hook is being, Dustin Hoffman's being introduced, and he says, "And now a man who's so deep he's nearly unfathomable, and so quick he's even fast asleep." So I like that one. And there's a line at the end of Lethal Weapon 3, which is, "You're supposed to get old with someone, not because of them." So those are my two favorites.
Thank you so much.
Now, speaking of scripts, when you read the script for The Force Awakens, at what point did you find out about the fate of Han? Or was that on set that day, or did you not have any idea?
You know, we weren't allowed to leave this office. We had to read the script in the office. We couldn't take it home, ever. So if you're ever trying to look at a scene and see where it falls in context to the movie, we would never know. So that was complex. But I did find out, I think, right away. And then they took it out of the script so that no one would... Because people were selling, you know, pictures from the set and all this stuff. I mean, it was very strict around the set. We all had to sign contracts about this thick, saying that we could go to jail if we divulged anything from the script, which I think would be a nice way for me to go to jail. I'd like to see my mug shot and, like, the hairstyle that I call the baboon ass wig. I'd like that to be my mugshot when I divulge something. I did divulge something by accident, but I didn't know. I printed a picture of Sir, and on the back it said Space Bear or something, and I didn't know that was the secret name of the production company, so that pretty much went viral. And I'm a little bit of a wild card on that front. So, you know, I the biggest thing that shocked me about this script was the Mark thing. And so my whole reaction when I first asked about it was, "What did Mark say?" So, but he was good about it.
Very cool. I like how we did that without giving away spoilers, too, in case anyone hasn't seen it. That was very vague yet informative. We did that well. No, we did it well. We didn't say what actually happened in case... Has anyone not seen The Force Awakens? I think we're good either way. All right.
Somebody hasn't. Well, nothing bad happens in it. Yeah, really, it's just a sweet, lovely, and nothing really dramatic.
Exactly how you think it would go. All right, we're back over here.
Hey, my name's Drew. I just love that you said something about Outlander. That show is amazing. And I have a quick two-part question. Well, the first part, not so much, but the second part's really quick. First part is the differences in filming between with J.J. Abrams versus Rian Johnson. I heard in a bunch of interviews with your son that he said it's a bit of a different tone, like it's a lot of a darker tone.
With
In the second, or in episode 8 with Rian Johnson directing.
These are pretty, I mean, to me, having done the first three, they're darker than those. But the thing with Rian is he's so specific about his vision. I mean, he shot a scene once, and he had an extra, one of the rebel, you know, walk behind the scene that was taking place. And then he reshot it because he wanted the extra to go the other way. And I thought, wow, you know what you want. So, I mean, that was pretty incredible. In terms of darkness, of course Adam is going to say it's dark because Adam is dark. I mean, it's not like he has any comedy scenes. Well, there is one funny moment. No.
And the second part, are you willing to share who you are voting for in the United States election?
Oh, what? Oh, wow.
Who do you think? Certainly not that moron. And votes for Trump, the force is definitely not with you. Sorry, I mean, I always think because he's not a politician, it's refreshing. Coca-Cola is refreshing. You want a politician to be in politics, not some businessman that cheats people and won't let us see his tax returns and wears his hair like that and talks about his daughter like she's a piece of ass. But otherwise, I think he's incredible. The most narcissistic man I have ever seen in public or private life, and that I ever want to see. And I'm sorry I've seen him, and I'm going to have something. If there's some kind of chip I can have put in my brain to erase him from my life. So, but otherwise, that's who I'm not voting for.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. There's another question about your work as a script doctor. What is the most common mistake you notice that screenwriters keep making?
That is a good question. Well, a lot of times dialogue will sound like dialogue. So you want to change it to... Here's the biggest thing that bugs me. When you're talking to someone in a scene and you keep referring to them by name... You know, like, well, Gary, I just wanted to say that I think, Gary, that you are such an adorable... Gary, I find you so adorable. Like, we're going to forget that they remember that they know who they're talking to. So, honestly, there's some movies you can watch, and it's hilarious because they're constantly saying each other's names. And there's sometimes they just sort of blather out and there's no, you know, like, I mean, so I do like to have it sound a little more colloquial. And I don't think love scenes are as good as they could be. But then what do I know?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. First off, I saw you years ago in Calgary, and I'm really happy you came up to Edmonton now as well.
I love Canada. We've been here all week. We were in Saskatoon, and now we've stayed there a couple of days, and we've been here all week. So we've been running around, going to all the galleries, and doing everything you can do. And I have an assistant that drinks a lot, so she's been hitting a lot of the pubs.
So
if you see her, her name's Corby. She's the one with all the beer.
Awesome. We'll go up tonight then. The other is a more personal question. Years ago, you came forward with your mental illness. And you making a stand for that made it easier for people like me to become more forward and open, and open conversations with other people.
Being mentally ill is cruel.
Totally agree.
I mean, it's not easy to do, and if you're doing it, you rock. So, you know, you're not just floating along.
No, and I really appreciate that you did that. And I was able to do it because people like you came forward and still come forward with that kind of power. What gave you the strength as a public person to be able to come forward and start to break that stamina?
Well, I've never thought of it as a bad thing. I mean, I was sort of proud of getting... I mean, I went through some awful stuff. I stayed awake once for 6 days and thought everything on TV was about me, which is very awkward depending on what channel you're watching. And then the TV started sending me messages, and And that stuff's really hard, and if you can do that, you're going to really appreciate it when that stuff isn't difficult anymore, when you get through something like that. And you can be proud of yourself for having been able to do that. I grew up, though, in a very public family. Not that everyone knew everything about my family. My father was bipolar, but he didn't talk about it. But if you hung out with him for about 3 minutes, I think you'd know. He shot speed for 13 years. I think he did talk about that. So I guess I'm like my father. But people did, it came out, I think, when I went into rehab. So I thought, well, I can either let this be out there and have it be someone else's version of what's the matter with me or what my challenges are, or we can do my version. And I prefer mine.
And I thank you for that. That's helped a lot of people. Sorry, mine isn't so much a question, it's more of a thank you. I actually read Postcards from the Edge when I was about 12 or 13. I had a really cool librarian who let me read whatever I wanted. And it opened my mind as a small town person to different ideas of the big city, because everything was all glamorous and beautiful. And that shows you the other side. So thank you for sharing.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. It certainly, it isn't glamorous. You probably have a very glamorous life yourself.
I like to think so.
As a kind person, I know you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
What is it like to, you know, obviously you do a lot of stuff on screen, and you're sitting in a closed set, and then to come to a place like this and see the fans and see the people you've touched, what does that feel like?
It's my favorite part of anything to do with my career. I love the fans, I love talking to them, I love finding out about other people. Otherwise you're alone. You know, I like finding out, I like talking from the best of myself to the best of someone else, and you always get that with the fans. You always do. And so I just get the best of everybody.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all these amazing stories. We have time for a few more questions, so let's keep on going.
Hi, Carrie. I'm a huge fan, and unlike most of the people here, I was introduced to you through the Blues Brothers. Apparently, I'm not the only one who watches that. So, I know it's been probably a number of years since you actually thought about that movie, but I'm curious.
No.
I'm curious if there were any stories or moments you loved working with on that particular film.
Oh my God, that film was a hedonistic explosion. John Belushi leading the way with Dan Aykroyd's nickname for John was the black hole in space, because if you got food near him, drugs near him, alcohol near him, I think maybe even women, all gone, gone, gone. And now, this isn't a good story to tell people, but don't consider me a good role model if you're young. But John, I tried LSD with John Belushi. And, which, you know, I can recommend now that he's no longer with us. But we tried it on the set, and we were shooting some of the scenes with all the policemen in the movie. And I thought they were extras, but they were policemen. So that went well. So does that satisfy them?
Oh, yes, it's great. Thank you.
Hi, Carrie. I'm actually Carrie as well. I love your role of Leia, and I'm glad that you reprised your role. But in regards to your book adaptation of your book, Postcards from the Edge, did you have any say, or did you fight any for any particular actor, actress?
I did have a say. I never thought Meryl Streep would do it. I mean, me being played by Meryl Streep is, I wish she'd play me all the time and I could just relax with Gary. But she would do a better job with some of the mental illness stuff. I think she'd really rock. But I did have say in it. I thought originally it would be Deborah Winger would have been good in it, but no one would be better. No one was better than Meryl in it. And yeah, I was there all the time, and it was so much fun to watch it be done, filmed.
Back over to this side.
My friend was a little nervous to come up here, so her question is, what was your favorite school subject?
English. I don't mean English like the English language, literature, and so forth. I liked writing from a very early age. He gets so bored when I talk about books. I liked that, and I liked French. But I didn't go to college, so I didn't get a chance to like philosophy and history, which I think I would have liked as well.
Hi, Carrie. What's your favorite Star Wars film?
Empire.
That's mine, too.
You have good taste.
Thank you.
I have time for a couple more questions, so we'll go back over here.
So, I just wanted to ask you, out of all of the Princess Leia's outfits, which one was your favorite?
Well, I mean, since I look good in the metal bikini, it might as well be the metal bikini. It wasn't that easy to wear because it was made out of plastic or something. It was really hard, so it didn't adhere to your skin. So there's no way you could, like, lay down because it would... everything. So, you walked around in that outfit all the time.
Thank you.
Hi, Carrie. I just wanted to say that love Princess Leia. You are my role model as a female character, for sure. And I really want to be an actor, so hopefully one day I can act alongside you. And I was wondering, do you agree with majority of the fans that Chewie should have hugged Leia after Force Awakens?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, hi, Carrie. Thanks for everything. You are a huge inspiration and just the coolest frickin' lady ever. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about... there's been more female representation in, like, action movies and stuff lately, and I was just wondering if there is anything that sort of stood out to you, any characters, or just any thoughts on that, you know?
I like... You know, is it... Lawrence? I think she's awesome. So I like watching her. Because she's a really strong character, and I think the only thing about movies now is you really, what you don't see when you're making movies are the crews are pretty much mostly men. Other than like the continuity girl, they don't even call it continuity woman, it's the continuity girl. And so that's something that could probably change in the movie business. But I think the characters with women are getting much better. And of course, I think Daisy's character, Rey, in the new film is awesome. I think she's awesome.
When you met Daisy on set, did you have any advice to her, kind of stepping into this role?
Not to go through the crew like wildfire.
Good advice.
No, I sort of was preparing her for the fans. I said, you know, you're going to get some long letters, and you're going to get some great letters, and you're going to get some of the weirdest letters you've ever gotten in your life.
All right, I think we have time for one more question, so let's jump back over here.
Mask? Okay, a question I got for you, well, okay, it's kind of a weird story from what I remember. We've heard that Harrison Ford got into a plane crash just before Force Awakens was released. If he did not survive, wouldn't it be very ironic that his character's death happened?
That's really bad ironic, though.
It is very bad. I know.
That's like the worst ironic I've ever heard.
Also, sad to hear what happened to R2-D2.
Oh, I know. He was a lovely, lovely guy.
Do you think he will return in Episode 8 of Star Wars, or...
R2-D2?
Yeah.
I think he will. You know, they... There's also, you know, it's harder for Peter Mayhew to be Chewbacca, so he gets some help with that. I mean, so, I get some help with floating through the air and stuff like that, so not that I do that.
Okay.
But if I did have to do that, that wasn't a divulging thing. Remember? I lie all the time.
And I got one more question. Do you think Rey would actually be your niece?
Would be my niece, who Mark,
Ray,
behind my back, went off and had a space date. He seems too mystical to, you know, screw around. He's up there on that rock. Who's he getting to get laid with? I would certainly be proud to have her as a relative, but I'm prouder to have her as someone who's following in my tiny little stubby footsteps.
Well, kudos to the next movie.
All right, well, you can check out her book, The Princess Diarist, out at the end of November, and maybe even see her in an upcoming Star Wars film or two.